Welcome to another edition of Pot of Gold. I'm Fernando Ramirez, Mike B, and Tom Noe again with us.
Hello.
How are you doing, Tom?
Awesome.
How are you doing?
You can pronounce Noe, but you can't pronounce my name?
Berardino.
Oh, okay.
See? No, I can do it, but stereo, last baby. Last time you said, just call me Mike B, so I left it at Mike B. Over the weekend, Saturday, we were at the 93rd Annual Blue and Gold Game.
Game in quotes, baby.
But Mike, what was one of your biggest takeaways from these guys being back on the field and kind of getting going a little bit? I mean, I know obviously this is a big break between now and when they get back onto the field, but kind of what was one of your takeaways from Saturday?
Well, one of the thing I wrote about at IndyInsider.com was about, it was going to be a final exam kind of, or a midterm, let's say, on the idea of fundamentals and sound tackling and the types of things that Al Golden, as new defensive coordinator, has been just pounding into their heads in every drill, every moment there to make sure that that they wrap up, that they do their run fits, as they say, and that that there's not any too many breakdowns. And even though Jadarian Price had that long catch and run in the second half, which again was kind of almost unfolded at half speed, it seems kind of a weird play. In general, there rushing yards were hard to come by. It seemed like people were in the right places. There was some thudding and some take. There were a couple of small injuries, unfortunately, but it wasn't because of too much aggression. No headshots or anything. But that was kind of the takeaway for me, was that, as much as we could determine from something that was really just a glorified scrimmage with the band, it was a good indicator that those guys have been paying attention, and that this is a team that was excellent in tackling last year, top five in the country, except in two occasions. The two big exceptions were that Florida State game in the opener, where they hadn't been tackling really for months, and then the bowl game, where the second half was a nightmare for the defense. So at Ohio State, September 3rd, going to have to wrap up.
Pot of Gold is live from the Stockroom East in South Bend. Mr. Noe, what was one of your takeaways from Saturday?
Marcus Freeman walked out of the post-game interview room at 3:40 in the afternoon. And I think by 3:42, he and Chancey Stuckey are in the transfer portal trying to find a wide receiver, because as we knew this was going to be rough, all right? We knew it was going to be a little thin with Avery Davis out, with Joe Wilkins out, very thin at the position.
It looked thinner.
But, man, you've got to find somebody that you can go to. Like Drew Pine. Drew Pine struggled Saturday to get in a rhythm, to take care of the football. But he also struggled because it was almost like they just threw the quarterback and the wide receivers all together 3 hours prior. Like, he has no rhythm and he has no relationship. He just has no trust with one guy other than 87, which is Michael Mayer. Like, you can throw the ball to Michael Mayer. Okay, he's going to go make a play. But you've got to have something. You've got to have some sort of better relationship on the outside with that receiving core. And as thin as we thought it was going to be, man, Saturday it was even thinner, and you just cannot. You're not going to win double digit games. You're not going to go to a college football playoff game with the receiver rotation being what it is at this current point.
And you know what, Mike and I were talking after the game, and we thought that there could have been a lot more sacks because of how long Drew was holding it, because he just couldn't find anybody open. So it definitely is a cause for concern when you see kind of what these guys are hoping this season is. I mean, I wrote about how I think the defense is going to be the backbone of this team, and you could see it. The defense was spread out. They had a couple players on one side, a couple players on the other. But what was crazy was they were getting penetration on both sides with their defensive linemen. Linebackers were playing well. There was two interceptions. Should have been three, but obviously there was an offsides call. But definitely the defense is in a good spot. I feel like once they all come together, once they get healthy, I feel like the defense is going to be the blueprint for this. But now it's what's the offense going to be? And that's like you said. Now JT Daniels is not out there anymore. He's with West Virginia. There's no quarterback that they could go out and get if they wanted to go out and get one. Now you have to look at receiver.
defense strong, offensive line. I know they mix and match, but they'll be a strength of this unit,
of course.
The wide receivers, maybe even to the running backs to an extent, and then also Drew Pine. Yeah, Tyler Buckner better not be stumbling down any stairs the week before the game against Ohio State. So there is strength in the defense. There is strength in the offensive line, but some of the other skill positions. Man, this team's going to need a little work between now and September 3rd.
His name wasn't mentioned in the post game, but you read between the lines when Marcus talked about how receivers in general, the offense has to help the quarterback. Tobias Merriweather, watching from home back in Portland, Oregon area, kind of loomed over that game. He'll be here in June, and he's going to get a chance right out of the gate, a four-star receiver, to be an impact player potentially when you look at the modest totals, to say the least. And again, part of it was that you didn't have your starting quarterback likely out there on the field. But, not the best of days for Deion Colsey. 2 catches for 8 yards, hard for him to get separation. Not the best day for Braden Lindsey, who's been one of the poster guys for this spring in terms of the extra workload they put on him. 2 catches, 33 yards.
Jaden Thomas was the best receiver, I guess, on the field with four for 39. Yeah.
4 for 39, and again, physical big downfield black. Connor Radigan.
The biggest big play guy. When the biggest big play guy is Connor Radigan, no offense to Connor, went to school right up the street here, South Bend guy, but you've got to get more out of that wide receiver position than what we saw. Even if Tyler Buckner's hurt and Drew Pine is the quarterback for the entire spring game, you gotta come out of there thinking, okay, I like this about this group. It's hard to find that right now.
The other guy who didn't play, who has to be factored in heavily, and this is in a different way, is Cam Hart, your best shutdown corner. Your best chance to have a shutdown corner was watching from the side, precautionary. And so if they couldn't get separation on Bracey, on Jaden Mickey's going to be really good, but he's just gotten here. He's a freshman. And Clarence Lewis, who can be up and down, that's all going to be factored in. And of course, that's just what we saw. We don't know what kind of struggles those wide receivers had in the spring practices that were closed to the media, which was the vast majority of them. So I'm with Tom. I think you're going to see at least one transfer portal acquisition. Who that's going to be? We don't have it yet. They have till May 1st to get on that list and then be eligible immediately. That turnout, they plugged a hole quickly with the Harvard guy in the middle on that defensive line when they had the injury, the ACL, on the first day of practice. But I think that they're going to have to move quickly. And Chancey Stuckey, it's proven already that and proven from his time at Baylor, from his time at Clemson, that he knows how to get people excited about working with him. And he's going to have a chance to do that as a receiver's coach.
And the easy part is saying they have to go get a receiver in the transfer portal. Yeah. The toughest part, and I don't think a lot of Notre Dame fans will understand this, is they have to find a fit academically. Like, whoever they go out and get, wherever he was playing, if he's only played 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, doesn't matter. He has to almost mirror his academic progress, almost has to mirror what he would do at the University of Notre Dame. So that really shrinks the pool. There are guys out there. It's going to be hard. But that's why those coaches do what they do and they make what they make, because they're paid to go out and find the one or two guys that may fit this offense, this academic institution, this program, this everything.
Yeah, no, and I mean, Notre Dame is known as they want leaders of men. They want guys who are going to put in as much work in the weight room and in the locker room as they do in the classroom and everything. So it is going to be interesting. Mike?
Well, to build on Tom's point, who's really on the clock here in the next few weeks? Well, it's probably the admissions people. Mm-hmm. They have to move quickly, and there's been some veiled references to it. Brandon Joseph hit that transfer portal from Northwestern back in January, and he described for us in January when you were there that, it's a minute-to-minute proposition for a player of that ilk, an all-former All-American, You don't want to say I'm going to wait on the academics to come through over here when you've got Oregon, et cetera, Texas A&M is home school, coming after him. And so Notre Dame did expedite the admissions, but it still wasn't immediate. It wasn't as cut and dried as many other institutions can make it. They're going to have to potentially to get that kind of level of impact at receiver. You know, I'm not saying that you look away from the obvious, but just process a little more quickly than you might for the typical student who's not athletically gifted. Yep. They're behind in that. In that, whatever that race looks like around the country, transfer portal. You know, if you hit that portal at 9 a.m. on a Monday, can you get the whole deal done by 2?
Right.
I think it happens, right, Tom? Yeah. It happens in hours.
It is hours. And it used to be days for Notre Dame. And if you wait days, that decreases the chances of you trying to get a receiver that can help this program in 22.
When one of the things, I mean, and you guys know this, I mean, I covered the Chargers for a couple of years, and their special teams got awful at times, and they would lose them games, and like the Chargers would be one or two games away from the playoffs, and they would lose two games because of special teams. I didn't like from any aspect of what I saw from Notre Dame special teams this weekend. I didn't think it was good at all. I thought they had a lot of mistakes. They had misses. The punters aren't here yet.
Yeah, we'll eliminate the punting game. Didn't return any punts.
The one that he tried to fair catch and it was a baseball slide. And mm-hmm. Salerno, yeah,
or not, he's very stable and steady. That's his thing.
Yeah.
It was windy.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, the special teams, they have a lot of work to do, too, from now until August. Yeah.
Too late to get another kicker out of the portal.
No,
even Marcus was frustrated after the game, and he's like, he literally goes, things need to change, or we need to get better. And then he paused.
You're probably not going to get another
kicker. Yeah, you're not getting another graduate. And the thing with the kicking game is when we were at the stadium a couple Saturdays, it may have been the previous Saturday or two Saturdays prior, where we listened to Marcus Freeman and both the coordinators and Tommy Reese and Al Golden. One of the first things Marcus Freeman said that day was he was disappointed in the kicking game.
Yeah.
So he had already set the groundwork to say, look, I'm not happy with the kicking game, particularly probably the field goal situation. He wasn't happy during the scrimmage, so he wanted to see something better on Saturday. They missed 3 field goals, so he obviously didn't see it.
In fairness to Groupie and Brian, who are just trying to follow Jonathan Dorr, who had 2 game winners last year, they still have Milk Vinson with the long snapping. That's huge. You have your long snapper in place. But Jay Bramblett was a tremendous holder. Saved him famously against Virginia Tech on a snap that was rolled back there on a very cold day, snowy day. Jay Bramblett, not just an excellent punter now at LSU, closer to his Tuscaloosa home, but it was a really good holder. And the holder that they'll likely have, when I asked Vincent about that recently, what's it like working with kind of stand-in holders? You know, the true holder will probably be one of the punters, whoever wins that punting battle when they show up here. That there's a Harvard kid, and then there's a very well-regarded punter, McPherson, coming in. So, you know, could be a la Bramblett starting from day one. So we have to factor that in when we pound him, but it's certainly you're well within your rights to question the special teams in general at ndinsider.com. If we just make excuses for everyone and everything, then it's kind of boring, right?
We don't have to do that.
But it's an area of concern. Lindsey was interesting, you know, that he was down there as a gunner. I don't know that we're going to see that in the regular season, but maybe we will. I mean, that's one of the things that they added to his plate. GPS trackers, even being included, he was pushed. I like Marcus Freeman's really good at, as you say, Tom, kind of setting the bar, laying the groundwork, and just coming out with it. And he said one of the things he learned about his team was that they like to be pushed. And so after all this talk about being a partner, and I believe it, that he wants to, you know, how can I help you? And you got to earn their trust for sure. It's not just the old school, you know, ream them out, you know, grab them by the ear hole. But they're going to be pushed, they're going to be coached, and there will be a level of expectation that there needs to be if you're going to talk about winning a national championship. And I don't think that he was fully satisfied with what he saw throughout the spring, and certainly on Saturday in the Blue Gold game, and had a right to be dissatisfied with that. You don't get morose about it, but you certainly can't be too giddy with some of the things that happened there, because it was concerning.
We've talked about a little bit about some of the negatives, but Tom, give me one positive of from Saturday that you noticed.
The game didn't count.
Oh, there you go.
It's so hard, though.
No, I mean, I know.
It's so hard to go into that game and say, I like this because we didn't see Tyler Buchner. We didn't see J.D. Burchine. We didn't see Cam Hart. We didn't see Jarrett Patterson. So it's hard to piece together something. You know, you can state the obvious and say, you know, Michael Mayer looked like Michael Mayer. Jadarian Price, as a freshman, is going to have a role on his football team. But it's hard to look at that and bring out so many positives because, number one, there's so many people missing. And number two, it's really like they got after it more in the scrimmages and the practices that we didn't see than what they did on Saturday. It's so watered down. They don't want to show anything that may tip Ohio State off to this is what they want to do like this. That's why they moved everybody around on the offensive line. That's why they mix and match the teams. That's why they didn't return punts or didn't return any kickoffs. Like, they're going to save that stuff until September. Is what? So, like, the one positive, spring's over. They know what they need to work on, and they know what's ahead of them. Like, it's not going to come out of – they're not going to all of a sudden wake up in June when they get back here for summer school and be like, whoa, wait, we're playing Ohio State on September 3rd? How did that happen? So, and I mean, now they know what they need to work on. They feel they're in a good place. The program, the players feel like they're in a good place. The assistant coaches, the staff. Marcus Freeman even said in his postgame, said, this program has a lot of momentum. So now let's carry this momentum through summer, preseason camp, into August, into September, and into Columbus, Ohio.
Mike?
All kinds of positives. I'm Mr. Positive.
You are. I'm not Mr. Positive.
We got to make up for this. Jordan Botello is a playmaker, and he had one of the interceptions. And very athletic, is going to factor. Anytime he's on the field, you're going to have to account for him. Or what his role will be remains to be seen. But I think it's going to grow as the season moves on, and he proves that he can avoid the penalty. That was one of the things that was brought up again. This is a guy who plays with a lot of passion, goes beyond the line, goes past that line, that red zone of behavior, and he's going to have to rein it in. But that's a fine line because he's a hair-on-fire kind of player. Maris Liafau, healthy, made it through the spring, coming off very serious surgery that ended his year last year, just as he had a huge fall camp, and he's a playmaker as well, and a guy who's going to be very hard to get off the field this year. And so those are positive. Ryan Barnes, 6 solo tackles. That's a guy who's flashed in the few times that we've been in there at cornerback. I think Ryan Barnes is trending well here. And, of course, Jaden Mickey, who every time he's out there seems to get involved, nearly had a pick six the other day. And I loved his reaction to it.
Too, because he should have had it.
Should have had it. The whole stadium knew it. But he wasn't afraid to grab his helmet, jump up. Great shot of him, you know, showing the hops. He's a early enrollee going on his junior year, it feels like. So that's a guy we're going to have to watch. And so what does that do? It makes a guy like Clarence Lewis have to push even more to make up for not just the Fiesta Bowl, but this competition. It's your competition's good. You want to have that. And Cam Hart being healthy, that'll be big. He'll be fine. They've got pieces, of course. So they have the pieces. So we don't overreact to a spring game. But that's what we're paid to do.
What I noticed was the way they were using Brandon Joseph, the transfer from Northwestern. And I don't know what it is about his game, but I guess like safety's kind of fascinate me in a sense. Like, I love watching them play just because I feel like they're the quarterback of the defense. They kind of know where everything's going. And the way that Notre Dame used them was they used them at punt return, kickoff return. They had them in the slot at times, and they had them at strong safety. And you're kind of looking at him, and I feel like that's what he's going to do this year. He might be an all-purpose, like, be at different places. I don't know about the punt, the kickoff. I think that would be too much. But in the defensive side, I think we're going to see him play in different roles. And I'm really interested to see kind of how he elevates his game, because he said, I mean, he feels like he's a first-round draft pick. He can get back to that All-American status. He feels like he can get back to being what he was his sophomore year. So definitely I know he's here to make a name for himself and to show teams that he is going to be the next big defensive player out of Notre Dame. And I really do think that he settled in really well. He's made some plays when we've seen him during practice. So I'm really interested to see kind of how he takes his game to the next level here with Notre Dame.
I like that he enjoys speaking with the media. And
that's always a bonus.
He's
big
awesome.
Bonus.
He's awesome. Dude speaks but,
paragraphs, and it's one bold pronouncement after another. So
exactly.
By the way, don't sit on any good stuff with him because he is just, it feels like one year passing through on the way to the NFL where he's got his buddy like Greg Newsome up there. But he's highly motivated to make the most of it. So that was a significant transfer get, and they need one or two more.
Again, Pot of Gold is at the Stockroom and East in South Bend. So great being here, getting to chat with the guys. Before I let you guys go.
We have to go?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we have to.
Don't forget to let them know that we're writers, too.
Right? Well,
that's
of course.
That's what this is about. Yeah. And we certainly hope that everybody's checking out our stuff, even Tom's stuff, especially
Tom. Yes, sir.
NDInsider.com. And what does that cost per month? $4.99 a month, and then that gets you access, I am told, to the entire range of Gannett-owned newspapers, largest chain in the country, 265 papers total. You get all, boom, right in there with that. And, of course, Gannett Sports Plus just gets bigger and bigger out there, so it doesn't even have to be just for our stuff, although we certainly hope you go right there at ndinsider.com. So, yeah, we'd love to have you. We're going to be doing this regularly. Pot of Gold.
See, I couldn't have done that promo. That was a really good promo. I couldn't have done that. That was a good one.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He practiced it all night.
In front of the mirror.
He did.
It'll never happen again.
He was on his laptop when we walked in here. I'm like, what are you doing over there? He's working on the promo.
That was a slick one. Like, he went right. No second takes, nothing. That was all on the first take.
This is a one-take podcast.
It is.
You got to see here. You'll learn. One take, that's it. Boom. Knock it out.
And that's all I have to say about that.
There you go.
Before obviously I let you guys go, the draft is Thursday. Kyle Hamilton is the headliner for Notre Dame. So I'm going to ask Mike first, where do you think he lands?
Oh,
geez. And
who's got your mock draft?
Okay. What's the best? What's the best landing spot for him? What do you think?
Well, he did. I mean, I'd like to preface this by saying I am not here to play Mel Kiper or any other draft Nick. I've been put on the spot for that. I'll just say this. If you're a general manager or an owner who passes on Kyle Hamilton at any point in this draft, I'm not saying he's the best, but I don't know. I'm not. I don't have the scout's eyes for this, but having seen what he could do here and the way his coaches and teammates continue to talk about him, even after he only played half of the season last year, he was a unanimous All-American having played half of a season. You're going to have some sleepless nights perhaps going forward as you wonder if you passed on a future, whatever, All-Pro, Pro Bowler. That seems to be the low end of it. Mm-hmm. This guy's a game changer. You know, we've seen it. And he does have an injury history. The ankle had to be surgically repaired. The knee didn't respond to the platelet-rich plasma. They couldn't get him back on the field. These are concerns. He's not as fast. He's not a blazer. Some people have said maybe he puts on 20 more pounds and moves down in the box, and he's just a ferocious linebacker type, a hybrid, a Justin Simmons type. I don't know. I'd keep him at safety. You've got a safety fetish, it sounds like. I would leave him at safety and let him show that velociraptor range and the long limbs and everything. If you pass on Kyle Hamilton anywhere outside of the top five, especially, you're gonna have to answer for that someday potentially.
That was a good media answer.
This is in my wheelhouse because before we walked in here, you mentioned the Chargers. He may fall all the way to 17.
That's what some people
to the Chargers.
Some people have. I think some mock drafts have seen him fall down to that area, and you're kind of like, whoa! A month ago, before his pro day, he was at third. Talked about second.
Yeah, second. Somebody overall. Was. They were saying second overall.
So now all of a sudden you might fall to 17th.
I'll put my Notre Dame men's basketball hat on because and I've mentioned this comparison.
This
with
is
you.
Football.
This is just. It's. We'll just keep rolling. When Notre Dame goes 15-5 in the ACC, most wins ever for Notre Dame in the Atlantic Coast Conference. But all we heard as Selection Sunday drew near was the ACC's underrated. They're not that good. The ACC stinks. The ACC's down. Why should Notre Dame be in the NCAA tournament? Should Notre Dame be in the NCAA tournament? As we kept going day by day by day, and then Notre Dame loses in the first round of the conference tournament to Virginia Tech. All the noise, and I mean, you can talk yourself into anything, and people talk themselves into saying Notre Dame does not deserve to be in the NCAA tournament. If anything, they should go to the first four. Well, look what happens. Notre Dame wins the first four game. They win a first round game out in San Diego, and they really should have won a second round game and should have gone to the Sweet 16, all except for maybe two possessions here or two possessions there against Texas Tech. So you can convince yourself of anything. I think that's now what I draw that now to the parallel to the NFL, where everybody wants to make a big deal about Kyle Hamilton's 40 time. He didn't do this. He ran slow. He's that. Maybe he's not a top two pick. Maybe he's not a top 10 pick. Now they're saying maybe he's not a top 15 pick. As we've gotten a lot, like if the draft was another month from now, people would say Kyle Hamilton's not a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, look at his 40 time. Convince me that he's not a first-round pick. Maybe he's a second-round pick. So it's paralysis by analysis. Like, people look at the 40 time. Look at some of the game tape. I was there that night, Labor Day Sunday night, when he came all the way across the field and made that interception. There may have been three guys in the country that could make that play. He made it. Those are the type of plays that he's going to make on a consistent basis and right away. Like the first time Kyle Hamilton was ever on a football field at the University of Notre Dame at Culver, what did he do? He had three interceptions on his first afternoon as a Notre Dame football player. So he's going to make plays. He's going to make all pro type of plays. And if he's a guy that's going to fall after the 10th pick, there are a lot of teams making a really big mistake on Kyle Hamilton because he's a top 10 pick, he's an all-pro, and he's a decade-long pro in the NFL.
The gut feel I might have on that is, as he starts to fall, somebody's going to trade up and get him because there will be an opportunity. And too much time is spent on thinking about the worst-case scenario
right.
and not enough about the ceiling. And the ceiling, obviously, for this guy is stratospheric. They're doing the same thing with the number one pick, Trayvon Walker from Georgia. Georgia was loaded, obviously, especially on the defensive side. But this guy had very little production in college. It's all about the testing for him. And Aiden Hutchinson was all about testing and production, the Michigan guy. And if whoever passes on Hutchinson is gonna be wondering for years to come, you know, if that's those are franchise. Those are the kind of moves that get you fired.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and There will be some of those mistakes made, and it could involve Hamilton.
Yeah, no, and it's happened before. I mean, like I told you guys, in 2018 when I was out covering the Chargers, I mean, Derwin James, Florida State, everybody thought, even Jalen Ramsey said, this guy is the best player in the draft. Obviously, he's his little brother in a sense, so he was going to say that, but Derwin falls all the way to 7th to 18th into the lap of the Chargers. Chargers draft him, and he's been an all-pro. He's had injury here and there, but he's really been a great safety, so maybe that's going to be a nice scenario for Kyle, but he just has to make do with wherever he goes. I think Washington would be a good spot for him with Riverboat Ron, his defense, the way their defense is kind of stacked. I feel like he could do well there, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens on draft day. But like you said, Tom, it's draft day. Like, people are just playing in, they're in their heads right now. Yep. Nobody really knows. So it's definitely going to be interesting, but we will have all the stuff, all the draft coverage from all the Notre Dame players on ND Insider. Check it out. We will have more stuff. And honestly, this was another fun podcast with you guys. This is,
Can we do it again?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know we're going to do it again. Like,
great show.
Yeah. And like Mike said, ndinsider.com. Check it out, $4.99 a month. We're more entertaining than Netflix is. We're more entertaining than any of those streaming sites you guys have. We're more entertaining, more fun. Come and read our stuff. Don't follow us
on Twitter for free at the moment.
There you go, too.
We don't know how long that's going to last.
Yeah, so you better get right in there. I think Jerome Bettis, first thing you did, you know, when we talked to him recently, he's going to jump on there and follow us on Twitter. So we invite all of you, at Mike Berardino. Good luck spelling that.
At Real F. Ramirez.
At T. Noy, NDI.
Well, thank you guys so much. Again, we're in the stock room, East and South Bend. A lot of fun jumping on the podcast with you guys, and definitely let's have a good draft weekend and see what else is to come. Thank you guys so much for joining us.